realized Sunday morning last week after having gone all the way through service that I'd pushed that way out, but I'd failed to turn on my lapel mic. Lynetta said it didn't matter. My mouth is big enough. Voice carried good enough. So it does. You got your Bibles this morning. I want us to go to the book of Hebrews, if you would, 11th chapter. Got a few spots in here today we're going to look at. And we're going to look at faith and some concepts of faith. I want us to think about it this morning. You know, the absence of faith really puts into our lives an absence of God. And that's just real plain by the first verse we're going to read. But we've got a few places we'll be in this morning, so if you'll hang on with us, we will go through these. But if you would stand this morning as we read Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read just verse 6. And this is one we've used a bunch, but we're going to put some others with it today. I look at faith. But without faith, it is impossible. And I want you to note something right here this morning. When God says it's impossible, it's impossible. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Father, this morning I pray, dear God, that Your will would be done in our lives. Father, help us, Lord, now as we go through Thy Word. Let it be used for Thy glory, for Thy kingdom. We pray, Father, today that we would be instruments for Thee. In Jesus' name we ask. And amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I thought it was kind of interesting when I started looking at this, and I'll be honest with you, I've been looking at the word glory and all the different aspects of it, and thought we would be doing some more on it this morning. But instead, sitting there at the table this morning in preparation, God just started talking to me about faith. And I'll tell you, there is, and I don't want to be mean today, but there is an absence of faith in a lot of lives. And unfortunately today, I'm going to say it this way, there's an absence of belief that faith will change you. And so folks say, well, I have faith, but I don't have to change. But if you have faith in God, you will change. And I'm just going to tell you, remember, the Bible says, if thou believest there is one God, thou dost well. The devils believe and do tremble. Now, they don't have faith in God and trust in His Savior, but they have a faith because they have a knowledge of the absolute that there is a God and they will be punished by it. So they don't have saving faith, but I guess you'd say this, they have a real belief. They have an understanding. The devils believe and do tremble. There's an action in that fact. So in my opinion this morning, if you have real faith, a true belief that there is a God, that faith will change you. If you're not changed, I don't know how to explain it any better. Hebrews chapter 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible. And like I said just a minute ago, if the Bible says it's impossible, then it's impossible. It cannot happen. It will not happen. I will not find a way to circumvent it, to get around it. And I know a lot of people today who are trying to find ways to circumvent and to get around God and God's Word so that they can get what they want, do what they want, and still go to the place they believe they want to be in. And the funny thing to me is, even people who would say this, they don't believe in God or whatever, they don't believe in a life after death, they believe you go back into the ground, you go and there you are, and your body decays, it turns to dust or guts, whatever, and it's over with. You know why they believe that? And they want to believe that? Because they don't want to believe there's a hell. That's the real thing behind it. Because if they have to accept there's a heaven, they have to accept there's a hell. And if there's something after life, then that means that we have to do something in preparation for that afterlife, which is giving our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, accepting Him for the atonement and the sacrifice of our sins, and then following Him, believing, working, doing the things He'd have to do. And so He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then after this, we have several verses of Scripture telling us about this. And if you want to think about it this way, the Bible says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chose God over pleasures, over riches, over a life of comfort and easiness. When you stop to think about it this morning, I was listening to, I don't remember if it was Brother Reg Kelly or Brother Mike. He said it took God 40 years to get Moses straightened up in the wilderness before he sent him back. You stop to think about it, he was 40 years wandering in the desert, or not wandering, but out in the wilderness, in the desert places where he was before he come back to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And you stop to think this morning, church, it took faith to step up and do this. And by the way, faith is not asking God, or not without question. Moses said, who am I that I should go? Then Moses said, I can't talk plainly, I can't do this. Pharaoh's not going to listen to me. But in the end, what did God say? Say that I am sent thee. And Moses stopped arguing. It was time to go on. So if we are without faith, we are in trouble. But if we have faith, we are not. And so with faith in Christ, in God, and we can please Him. And we know this morning that He will reward us. Then we find there's a couple of other things here this morning. Living by faith. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. If you go over to the book of Romans, in the first chapter there, in verse 17, we'll look at this morning. We're going to cover three places. It's only found three times in Scriptures as this, and there's a fourth time where it's written differently, but it's still in the same concept. In verse 1, or chapters 1, verse 17, it says this, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. My faith, your faith, God's faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. So it's impossible to please God without faith. And therefore, if we have faith, we should live by faith. And if we think about it this morning, the Bible says there, the just shall live by faith. You and I this morning call ourselves Christians, born-again believers in Christ Jesus, those who have faith in the absolute deity of Christ, the deity of God. There is a God Creator. There is Jesus Christ, our Savior, His Son. There is the Holy Ghost that He promised that when He ascended on high, He would send another Comforter. And that's the Holy Ghost to come into our lives and to remind us and reprove us and to lead us and direct us, instruct us. So we have this faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. You and I this morning shall live by faith. In Galatians chapter 3, you go over there and look at verse 11. He writes it again. It says this in verse 11, for if that which was done was glorious... Excuse me, I'm in the wrong... That was Corinthians. Galatians. It sounds better in Galatians, all right? But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And by the way, when you have two witnesses in the Bible, it's right, it's going to be established. And the Bible says that everything be done by two or three witnesses. And we have a third witness to this back in Hebrews there. But let's think about it this morning. You and I are called to live for God. We're called to search and follow and do the things of God. And I thought, how much does it take for you and I? Well, if we're living by faith and we're walking by faith, we're desiring to please God, it has to be by faith. And if the Bible is right, which I think that it is, it says the just shall live by faith. How many other times do we need to be told to walk and live by faith? And you say, "Brother, where are you trying to get at?" Well, it's just this. I think sometimes we rely more upon our substance and less upon God. And that's where we get in trouble. That's where we're looking at today. We rely more upon ourselves than we do upon God. We see so much. And remember, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And yet it seems like sight is what controls us so much today. And I'll just cover that one for you real fast because it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 7. He said, "The just shall live by faith. You and I are supposed to walk by faith and not by sight." He said this, if you go back in verse 5, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians verse 1, "For we know that in this earthly house, that is in this tabernacle, we're dissolved, if it were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, how many of us love John chapter 14? "In my Father's house are many mansions." Now I've said it before, I'll say it again. It did not say there's one with my name on it, but there's many of them there, regardless of how many's there. It doesn't matter to me. As long as I'm in heaven, I don't care about the rest. I'm going to be honest with you. When we get down here, we get so caught up on sight, and we start thinking about what we're going to see up there and the things that are going to be. And we forget sometimes the reason for heaven is not the streets of gold. It's not, the mansions. It's God. It's Jesus. It's getting to be where He is. When you stop and think about it this way, who looked on the face of God and lived? No man, the Bible says, has looked on God's face and lived. Moses was only allowed to see the shadow of God passing by, his hinder part. And that was such an effect on Moses when he come off the mountain there, the children of Israel scared to death of him. Think about it for a second. Well, Stephen saw it. Listen to me. The Bible says that Stephen steadfastly looked into heaven and he saw God sitting on His throne and Jesus at His right hand. But what happened to Stephen? Gone. He didn't live in the flesh. He's alive forevermore, but he did not stay alive in the flesh. When we stop to think about these things, church, look at it. "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given unto us this eternal earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, not knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." And he's saying here, we know this, that while we're here, we're absent from there, but we're walking here by faith in Christ because of why? We want to be there. That's the whole purpose. That's the plan. I'm just here to tell you, I want to follow the plan of God. He planned it out that I should be able to go home with Him. He made it possible. But it takes faith and living by faith. And the just shall live by faith. Church, there's no two ways about it. Without faith, it is possible to please Him. And if you are going to be just, you're going to be living by faith. The saved will live by faith, and we will not walk by sight, but we will walk by faith. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, just simply put, "Now the just shall live by faith," but look at this, "but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Does that conflict, by the way, with Hebrews chapter 6, or chapter 11, verse 6? Absolutely not. You know why? Jesus said, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him." And we find that in this one here, it says that if they draw back, then his soul has no pleasure in him. Now the just shall live by faith. And church, I'm going to establish something for you real quick this morning. It's not faith in me. It's not faith in you. It's absolute faith in God and His Word. God gave us this. Jesus said, all things of my Father have I told you. I've given you. I've delivered it to you. I've put it out there so that you'll know exactly what the Father wants done. You know, you and I this morning, we walk a lot of times by what we're afraid of. You ever thought about that? I mean, after all, let's just be honest. It is smart to be afraid of certain things. I went the other day, was walking in a yard, and the customer was ahead of me. She was walking ahead. I was going in the backyard to do a locate. And I don't know why she went out there, but she's got dogs. So I was just assuming she was going out there to make sure the dogs wasn't in the backyard. I don't know. But she walked in front of me, and maybe this is why God was protecting me and giving it to her. All right? Now, I'll tell you something. She needs prayer. She didn't act like a saved person. But anyway, she's walking through there. She walks between the trampoline and the wood fence. And it's about a path as wide as this right here. And when she goes through there, the next thing I know, she's running ahead of me and she's screaming and cursing. And I thought to myself, I don't know what's going on. I stopped right where I was. And she was getting stung by yellow jackets that had come out of the metal part of that trampoline. And I mean, they was coming out going after her. I was standing right there by the trampoline and I never got stung, chased, or nothing. And you say, well, Brother Ernie, and you think that's fair? Well, I think God knows what He's doing. But you just stop to think about it for a second. When you put your faith and your trust in God, you may not always understand everything. But God has got a will. He's got a way. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. He works it out. And we walk by faith, not by sight. But what happened there was we walked through there. And by the way, I went ahead and went on through. They were after her. I went this way. She was over there. I went over here. But you know what we neither one of us did? Walk back through there on the way out. She went in the house, opened up another gate. We went out that gate there. Why? Because I'm smart enough to go away from the yellow jackets, not go back to them. There are things you ought to be smart enough to understand. If there's a big sign on the gate that says, beware of dog, and you can't see the dog, beware. You don't go in the gate. Guy told me the other day, I didn't locate. He said, well, did you see the dog? I said, didn't see the dog. I said, but I'll tell you something else. He goes, what's that? I said, that dog's got to be pretty big. Why's that? Because there's gaps in the fence. It's a wood fence. And there's gaps in the fence. And there ain't no wire. I said, if there was a small dog, there would be wire keeping that dog inside. And the beware of dog, you know, could be there. I said, but it must be a big dog because it says beware of dog. And it's like, it's slapped. Ah. Well, he got a hold of the customer the other day. Let me tell you something. The dogs she's got are big dogs. He ain't going in there until the dogs are put out. There's things to be smart about, right? But we fear a lot of times the things we ought not fear instead of fearing God. We fear rejection. What somebody else might think if we don't go along with the plan. They call it peer pressure. We fear being left out. Because we don't have something or we don't do this or some other thing there. And so we fear what it's going to be like if we're isolated and left out. Instead of fearing God, we fear man. We fear things. Let me tell you something. In the life, no man will stand with you and proclaim your innocence and get you into heaven. But Jesus. The blood applied. You get it? Hey, be afraid of God. A righteous fear. A holy fear. A needful fear. But that fear is because you have faith that God is real. And what God was said you do, He's going to do. For those who reject, He's going to hell. For those, they'll go to hell. But for those who accept, they get to go to heaven. But they have to live by faith. Not talk about it. Live it. The just shall live by faith. It's found one more time, though, in the book of Habakkuk. And I'll tell you what, somebody pronounced that the right way, right? Habakkuk. It's got two K's in the middle and one K on the end. And I should have marked that one there, but I didn't. I looked it up, though, and I read it. And it says, "And the just shall live by his faith." Now, therein lies the answer to it, right? The just shall live by his faith. And what is his faith? His faith and his trust in God. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. But let's just read verse 1. "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end at the end it shall speak, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Now let me just say this. Brother Mike said this this morning in the message. The Bible said this, and it just came to my mind. The Bible says that God is not slack concerning His promises, as other men count slackness. He said, this is going to happen. Things are going to take place. But Brother Ernie, no, listen to me carefully. He says it will come. He's talking about something that will take an event that will take place. I'm not going to cover all of that this morning, but look at what he says. "Behold, his soul shall be lifted up. Up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Those who lift up against God because they're not right, they're going to find that in the end there's going to be some awful things to answer to. But the just that lives by his faith in God, church is going to be all right in the end. Now I found that it was interesting too this morning to think about this. You got my wallet still? All right. I'm going to do this. The first person to raise your hand with the honest answer, if you know this, I'll give you $20 after service. How many times is the word faith found in the Old Testament? Alright, since nobody knows for sure, anybody want to guess? My wife knows because I told her. She's got my wallet, she's got the $20. You realize it's only found twice in the Old Testament? Does that not astonish you? To think about the word faith only being found twice in the Old Testament? And I wrote it down because it was interesting to me. That it was only found twice. But in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and if you'll go over there and read this with me this morning, I'll close in these thoughts. It is amazing to me how that when we look at these things, all through the Word of God, we would think everywhere in the Bible, faith would be found throughout the Word of God. And it's only found twice in the Old Testament. We done read one, and that was in Habakkuk. But the other one is here in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And it's a verse that really, when I read this morning, made me pause to think. In verse 20, it says this, "And he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be." Now God is talking. "For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith." Think about what God is saying here. God's looking at these folks. And He calls it a generation. A very forward generation. Remember, the Bible says there is a generation that forgot or forgets God. Can you imagine this morning when that generation started or how it took place? Because God said in Deuteronomy that they are a generation in whom they're a forward generation, children in whom is no faith. And yet without faith it's impossible to please God. The just are supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. It's one of those deals when you read through the New Testament and you start looking at verses of Scripture and you start coming to the understanding of things, we stop to think about how often was it the faith of the person that caused the words of Christ or the words of the apostles to come to fruition. Every time. Think about it. When Jesus said unto the blind man, "Go and wash thyself," what did he do? He went and washed himself. If he didn't believe it was going to happen, why would he have went and washed? When he told the lame man, "Take up thy bed and go," what did he do? He took up his bed and go. If he didn't believe it would happen, why did he do it? When we find that Jesus tells the centurion, he says, "Go, thy servant is whole, he's alive." If he wasn't, why? If he didn't believe it was true, first off, Jesus said, "No greater faith have I found in all Israel," all Jerusalem. Talking about how that he said, "I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof." But if he didn't believe the words of Christ were true, why would he have turned to go? And the Bible says while he was on the way, he was met. When the lepers were told of Christ, "Go and show thyself unto the priest." We know the story. They all 10 started to go. Only one come back to worship. The other kept on going. But why did they go if they didn't believe it was true? Peter says unto the lame man, "Such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus, arise and walk." And he said he stretched forth his hand and it come and he lifted him up. Why, if he didn't believe it was true, would he have reached his hand out to Peter? Faith. Every time, an action of faith. Faith motivated them all. What motivates us? More times than not, you know what motivates us? Fear. Fear. Fear without absolute faith accomplishes nothing. A forward generation. What are we today? Where are we at today? Just to be honest with you. Do you not think that we're living in a time of four generations? I mean, let's just stop to think about the Bible. I won't go a long time, but just think. The Bible says all the things that it says about how that we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to act and what we're supposed to do. And it's not telling us that because God's trying to be a mean one. It's telling us because God loves us. There's an aspect of this that God respects us to do because of our love and respect for God. And yet today people believe there's no God. And the people who believe in God supposedly hardly take time to honor God. There's no talk of God. We call out to God when we're sick, but we don't call out to God before that a lot of times. I mean, people today drive by the church and they could care less. Doesn't matter. They'll throw out their beer bottles and they'll throw out their trash bags and they'll throw out their other nasty things. And I don't mean to be too mean, but let's just be honest with you. If you smoke and you come to the church and you put your cigarette butts out in the church parking lot and that's where you leave them, do you really have a respect for God's property? I mean, I'm just being honest, church. You got junk at home, you don't want it home, so you store it at God's house. Is that the way we do it? It is today. People don't care. Think about it.
They'll park their vehicles over on the side of the church so that they can go down to parties. They don't care. But I ask the question, do we inside care? That's the problem. We've got to make sure that we care. Our faith, our trust, it's in God. It's vital to that. I've said a lot of things, and I'll be honest with you, church. He said they're a forward generation, and the generation says God doesn't really care. Shack up together without any type. I'm going to tell you something. If somebody comes to me and they're married, and even if it's not the way I did it, but they were married, there was whatever it was, I'm not going to tell that person they're not married. That's not my job to judge. But if there is no marriage, it's just, well, we're going to live together until we can't live together, or until we decide we can get along together, and then we'll get married. The Bible calls that shacking up. Fornication. It's not right. But don't worry about that, because as long as they're a good piano player, they're a good drum player, they're a good bass player, they're a good whatever player, they can play in the church. They can play for the church, and as long as they can sing good, they can stand up and sing. And let me tell you something, church, they're filled with that stuff. But we're not going to judge them. I don't have to judge. God judge. Our job is to warn. To tell them. It's not right. You can't do that. You don't have a right relationship with God if you're living that way. And by the way, it's not just fornication. Homosexuality. You're not going to get away with it, God. You cannot ordain homosexuals to stand up and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. They call it an oxymoron. I call it unforgivable. Ignorance. How in the world did we get to that place? Remember what I said? The Bible says, seek ye out the old paths and the old ways and walk therein. Because that's where we're supposed to be. He didn't say we had to go back to 1940. But we've got to go back to the Word. We've got to go back to the will and the way of God. We've got to go back to faith. Living by faith. Walking by faith. Doing what God says to do. Because what this Bible says is true and is right. A children in whom is no faith. Go ahead and stand with us this morning. By the way, you get a chance, I'd read the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. But it's amazing to me, in the Old Testament, two times. One talks about that a just man shall live by his faith. But then there's a generation, there's children with no faith. I don't want to be part of the no faith. Father, this morning we come before You, dear God, and we just thank You so much for Your love, for Your mercy, for Your grace. We ask You, dear God, today help us, Lord, through this time, this hour, the day we're living in. And dear God, I ask You this morning, move our hearts towards Thee. Father, move our steadfastness, our minds towards Thee. And dear God, I pray this morning that determination for Thee places hard upon us. Dear God, that we'll do the things that are right in Your sight. Lord, I ask You this morning, help us and have Your way in our hearts in Jesus' holy name. And amen. If you want to come this